Will the congregation please join with me in prayer? Righteous Heavenly Father, how we thank you and praise you that you have called us your own through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray, O Lord, as we are now so gathered, that you would give me the words to speak, that our ears and hearts may be open to hear your speech, and that, Lord Jesus, that we would all listen, that our faith would be strengthened, and we would be encouraged at your love for us. For you, our Savior, Jesus Christ, live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto all of you from our Lord, who loves us each as his tender lambs. Amen. Our epistle reading closed out, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And no doubt, this is a verse we can become very used to as Christians, something that might even be a part of a road known as the Romans Road, and some of you might know this and have even used them to help others hear of Jesus and his love and grace for them, that they would hopefully come to the awareness of their sin and their need for a Savior, knowing that their sin produces death and brokenness, that hopefully they would see that God gives life and he does it eternally through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is our hope and the reason why we gather here today, the reason why we come from our various homes and places, some of us probably being able to walk to church, but most of us probably driving, and some of us have to drive quite a long way to get here, but it's worth it, because you go a far way if something is pretty good. I tell you, the apostles knew that leaving home and following Jesus was really the good thing. Following Jesus was what was right. Many of them left house and home. They left their wives and their children behind so they could go and be a part of the ministry that Jesus had called them to. Remember, those apostles were first just disciples that were following Jesus, but he said, but I tell you what, you 12 will be a special called group, and I want you to come and assist me in the ministry that I am about. No doubt Jesus took them all over the region. They got to witness his many miracles. They got to see him give sight to the blind, unstop the ears of the deaf, that he would allow the lame to run and to walk, that he would cleanse the infirm, that he would cast out demons, that he would set captives free so that people could be freed to worship God. Lepers were able to go back to their homes and, even better yet, go to the temple and engage in the sacrifices and receive the blessings of the women were cleansed, where they could leave the tents on the outskirts of town and go back home and to live the life that made them feel fulfilled. Jesus led those apostles in so many places, and even one time he took them, because they were being arrogant and they were talking about who's the greatest, and he took them far to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and there a Canaanite woman was before them. And she fell down on her knees begging for mercy. Jesus says, it's not right to throw the children's bread to the dogs. And she says, but Lord, don't dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table? And our Lord said, for this statement, you will receive what you're asking for in faith. You see, he was giving the smackdown to those apostles. He was saying, look at this woman in faith, and she shows so much of what you 12 need to learn. Learn from this woman. So he takes them on a long journey. They leave from Tyre and Sidon, and they make their way all the way back to the Sea of Galilee, and not the nice side, the side that they're used to, where Capernaum and Magdala is, but on the far side, to the region of the Ten Cities, to the Decapolis. Now over there, it's mostly Gentile. Many of the Romans, you see, that served in that region, when it was time for them to retire, they would go to the region of the Decapolis, because provide for them land where they could land. And they would be there with their families, and so that region was known as a place of mixing of many Gentiles. Well, that was even the region where the pigs that were that had the demons cast out of them, that is the region to where they were. And it is to that far side that Jesus takes his apostles. Now they had seen so many miracles, even the feeding of the 5,000 on the Jewish side of the sea. And they were able to see the 5 loaves and the 2 fish feed so many men, including their wives and their children. But now Jesus has wearied them on this long journey to take them to be surrounded by such a cosmopolitan hodgepodge group of people. And they've gathered because why? Because Jesus is doing amazing things. He is speaking good news to the poor. He is unstopping the ears of the deaf. He's opening the eyes of the blind. Things that maybe these apostles have become too accustomed to. And having been now in this desolate place 3 days, Jesus looks out and he's moved in his gut. He has compassion. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. Maybe some of them saw Jesus walking by as he made his way from Tyre to Sidon, as he passed through the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. Maybe many had heard of his fame and came up from Judah, maybe even far out into the desert places south of them, into what is now modern-day Jordan. But nonetheless, many were there, and Jesus saw them, and he had compassion. Interestingly, other places where Jesus has compassion is when large groups of people are together, and sometimes they're even said to be like sheep without a shepherd. But they are there with this great need. And obviously, if they were concerned about what they could do for themselves, they would probably have left the meeting already, have gone home, and found what was in their own refrigerators to sustain themselves. But instead, they see that the good stuff is with Jesus. And they're willing even to go hungry for 3 days to witness the miracles and to hear the words. And to know the presence of who truly is their loving Creator. But the 12, those disciples, you would think that they'd be like, hey, remember what you did for the 5,000? You would think that they would say, hey, why don't we do something like that? But instead, you hear them throw out this, almost a question of testimony of whining. How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And maybe some might think, oh, they're giving Jesus a softball pitch. I don't know. These guys, time and time again, they really show that they struggle seeing truly who Jesus is and what he's about. But Jesus said to them, well, look, how many loaves do you have? They answered 7. Jesus directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. Not too unlike a shepherd would have his sheep sit down in pastures that were green. And if you know anything about the topography, the grass is not so green, and there's not a bunch of food just lying around that they could grab and munch on. This is a pretty rough, desolate place. But Jesus took the 7 loaves and he gave thanks. He breaks the loaves. What does he do? He gives it to those apostles. He says, now go feed the people. Set them before them. And in setting those loaves before them, they were able to go out and witness the miracle that Jesus was doing at their hands. That Jesus, having given the loaves that were blessed, these apostles had to receive it and then turn and in faith give it out to the people. And as they were giving it, the people are receiving. Hey, well, I don't know where this food is coming from. Maybe some of them knew. Maybe some of them saw that there were only 7 loaves. But the apostles knew. The apostles saw where it came from, and the apostles saw where it was going. I can only imagine that some of them started having tears as their hearts were breaking and they were understanding that God was doing something through them that they had no power in, and that what they were witnessing was a true miracle in and of itself. That Jesus would send them to give the people his gifts. It was Jesus doing, and he just happened to call them and use them to do the administration of those gifts. All of these people were in need. They were all made in the image of God. They were all children of Adam and Eve. And Jesus had compassion on them, just like he had compassion on the woman in Tyre and Sidon, who was as worthless as a dog to the Jews, but was honored by the Lord and given much grace and mercy. See, Jesus was having compassion and feeding them, and the apostles were learning a vital lesson, one that they wouldn't truly understand until the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. See, that same 12 would go with Jesus and follow him even as he ventured back into Jerusalem on his last trip. They would go with him even to the Garden of Gethsemane as he struggled under the agony of pain, knowing what was to come. They were the same 12 that scattered and fled as their shepherd was struck, as he was tried, as he was judged. They did not know that it was in their place, but he was being judged for the place of not only them, but also the 4,000 and the 5,000 and all those that were alive at that time, all those that had been alive before and those that are alive now and will be ever since. Jesus was tried in our place. Our loving Lord, taken to the cross, beaten, scourged, and then taking the names of his redeemed and engraving them on the palms of his hands by the nails of that cross. Many of the apostles were onlookers from a distance. Many of them cut to the heart seeing what had happened to this great Jesus who fed the masses. And some of them wondering, what next? We do know that many of them 12 were also together, the majority. Sadly, Judas, having removed himself, did not get the pleasure of witnessing the resurrection of Jesus, but the others did. Being in the upper room, they were able to see Jesus before them in the flesh, speaking his peace and breathing on them the Holy Spirit, that they would go and take his gifts and continue the ministry that he had begun. That they would speak the forgiveness that is Christ alone to speak, and that they would administer the gifts of baptism and his supper. He gives, because he had given his body and blood for them on Calvary, and that he would continue to give that gift as he will today, as he comes to us and nourishes us with the assurance of forgiveness in his very body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. You see, this is Jesus' ministry. It was Jesus' ministry to the 4,000, and in Matthew it says 4,000 men, not including the women and the children. I tell you, that's a lot of people for 7 loaves. And the fact that 7 basketfuls were taken up. And for the 5,000, you had 12 basketfuls. And I tell you, if you're into numbers, go through the scriptures and go look at this stuff. The 12 on the Jewish side is pointing for the culmination of those 12 tribes. And if you want to look at the 7, think of the 7 churches and the 7 spirits, go check out Revelation and really just how cool God is and how he keeps on throwing out these marvelous little hints of just how perfect he has it all taken care of. I don't know about you, but I have had many sufferings in life that would make me understand why I would leave everything behind, sit at the feet of Jesus in a desolate place for 3 days, going hungry because I know that he is truly what I need. And no doubt some of you have known that type of need, that type of hunger, and maybe even today you're in that type of need. Today, many of you might be in a type of suffering that only Jesus can understand. But he wants you to take heart, because he never leaves you or forsakes you. And thankfully, the ministry is his ministry. His calling is his calling. And his gift of the church is for you. That you would have the brothers and sisters in him, around you, to be that encouragement, but also to receive his gifts together. And he continues to give you gifts through the holy ministry that he has called for so long and continues to work through even today. I want you to know I'm greatly humbled to be a part of this ministry. And I am so very thankful for the faithfulness of this pulpit that is held by this church's pastor. It is the reason why me and my family love to come here and be fed. Because this, we know this is where the true good eats can be found. Basically, Jesus sent them all away. And no doubt the people got their fill so they could make their long journey. The 7 basketfuls of leftovers were there. The apostles had their shock and their awe. But it was after the cross, it was after the resurrection, that they would fully understand. Yes, the wages of sin was death, but it was the free gift of God, of eternal life, that was found in Christ Jesus that was going to make it all worthwhile. That is ours today, Jesus' gift. He has paid for it on the cross. He has risen, he is assured, and he has baptized you, he has called you by name. And when he says come, he means it. To him be all the glory now and forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.